Welcome to a new series that we're starting today. We have the great merit to start a new topic, learning the book Gan Emunah. Be'ezrat Hashem, we're going to learn over the next few weeks from the book of Rav Shalom, the first one, Gan Emunah, the one that started it all off. We're going to learn from the Hebrew version. The Hebrew version is longer than the English version. This is the English version, a well-worn copy, Baruch Hashem. English version is about 280 pages. The Hebrew version, we've got something approaching 440 pages worth of text. So we've got a lot more to learn in the Hebrew version. Also, the Hebrew version is now on its fourth edition. Rav Arish has added in many more ideas, many more thoughts that are really amazing and for us to know and to get the most out of it. So Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to walk you through, with Hashem's help, through the Hebrew version of the book Gan Emunah. So even if you have had the great fortune to have read the English version, there is still a lot to learn and a lot to gain from these series of Shirim that Be'ezrat Hashem we're going to start today. My name is Reuven Levy. I am a teacher on the English program of Chut Shel Chesed Yeshiva. The Yeshiva Chut Shel Chesed started an English program a couple of years ago now. We now have a strong program with lessons every day, from morning until evening. And we invite all of our viewers, from wherever you are, if you're in Israel, to come over, come and see us, come and stay with us, come in for a lesson or two. We'd be delighted to see you. So let's start. I'm going to start with a little bit from the introduction, because I think it's also quite relevant, the words that Rav Shalom brings in the introduction to the book. He says as follows, HaSefer HaZeh HaChaya Anashim, this book brings life to people. Simeach Anashim, it brings joy to people. Chizek Anashim, it brings strength to people. Cholim B'machalot Kashot, Matzu Bo Meshenet, those who are sick with unpleasant illnesses, they find in it support, V'achen Oshel, and are saved. Anashim She'ibdu Et Simchat Chayim Shelahem, Chazu L'Chayim. People who lost their life, lost their will for life, they found life in this book. Kol Mi She'Karato, He'ir She'etzem HaKriya, Bosh HaShirata Alav Noam U'Igiyot. People who read this book, Rav Arish is writing now in the fourth edition, people who read it have told me, he says, that in the pages, just by reading it, they found pleasantness and relaxation. It calmed them, calmness, just from reading the words in the book. And even to the extent a person can't put it down, but once you pick this book up, it changes your life. Changes your life. I gave a copy recently to a friend of mine in Jerusalem, and he called me later. He said Mamash those very words. He said, Reuven, it's changed my life. Mamash changed my life. We just heard from Rav Arish as well, who just came back from the US, that everyone he was meeting almost was coming up and saying, this book changed my life. Be'ezrat Hashem, it should also have the same effect on all of us who read it. So let's continue. B'kolelim rabim kavu seder limud b'sefer. In yeshivot, the rabbis fix times for learning this book. Anashim maskilim v'achamim gedolim he'idu she'merivavot sefrei ruach shekaru. Wise men and learned people testified that even though there are many books out there on spiritual matters, zeh sefer yachid shedibar libam, this is the only book that spoke to their heart. Hapashtut v'hemet, the simplicity and the truth, shebachol dibor v'dibor shebesefer, that are in every word in this book. Matzavat et kam lelev shel kol mi shekarebo, found its way to the heart of everyone who read this book. Yesh matzadikei ador shamu al sefer hazeh she'ashchina shorah al dapav. There were those from the great of the generation who have said that the Shekhinah, the divine presence rests on the pages of this book. That it brings back life to people. And it's a great mitzvah to publish it and to distribute this book. There are many stories about the book and the amazing and wonderful things that people say about this book. What's special? This is a book which wasn't written that long ago. 5, 6, 7 years ago, maybe a bit longer. In that time, it has now been translated into at least 10 different languages. And more than 2 million copies of it have been sold. 2 million copies of this book, which is a phenomenal amount when you consider the numbers of the Jewish people and Jewish households. This book is being spread to right across the world. And how is that being done? You won't see any advertisement for Gan Emunah anywhere, apart from here. You won't see any advertisement for it. Only through word of mouth. This book is one of those unique books that a person reads, sees that it's a life-changing book, buys 10 copies and starts giving them out to all his friends. And that's how this book has spread to 10 different languages across the globe. And affected people, Jews and non-Jews alike. And Rav Arush was in South Africa recently, on a recent trip. There was a priest, a non-Jewish priest, asked him to come and speak to his congregation. At a congregation of 5,000 people. He wanted Rav Arush to come and speak because he'd seen a copy of the book, was blown away by it, and he wanted Rav Arush to speak to his 5,000 congregants, none of them who are Jewish. It's amazing how far this book is going, and it's just continuing to spread, which is why Bezrat Hashem, with this series of taped shiurim, we can also start to spread further to those who are watching on the internet, to learn a little bit about the amazing teachings that Rav Arush is giving over in this book. Klalo shel dvar, hasefer hitkabel ba'avar v'tzim'on b'chol shichbar ha'am. The sum of the matter is that this book has been received with love and with great thirst in all areas. Mikatan v'ad gadol me'aver l'kol tzipia. From small to large, from the smallest person to the biggest gadol, above all expectations. Afilu goyim shekaru prakim shetugamu mimenu hitoru la'amin b'vorei olam. And like we just said, even goyim, even the nations of the world, the non-Jews that read this book, they also have found it to be an amazing, amazing help for them to reach and to learn about the true God. Hazbeh yachid hu she'achen zeh ratzon ha'borei she'yitzeh sefer zeh melamed emuna. The only explanation that person can give for the phenomenal success of this book is that it's Hashem's will. It's God's will. God has decided that this is the time to create a book on Emunah. That this is what people need to know. The world needs Emunah. In case we hadn't noticed, the world is in a very difficult state. The world is facing unprecedented attack from negative influences. From influences which destroy a person, destroy their soul, destroy their neshama, destroy their will to live. And there needs to be an antidote. And this is the antidote. This book is the remedy, is what's going to take people out of the situation that they find themselves in. To drag people out of the pit, out of the darkness. When you're in darkness, what do you need? Light. You need light. You need the light of Hashem. The light of Hashem is shining on every single page of this book. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit to see some of that light. Okay, so before we get into chapter 1, we have a word from the author. Rav Shalom wants to teach us something before we start. Dear reader, he says, "V'amalech avodati ha'ishid, during my work, u'bikar b'mifgash hayom yomi sheli in Bnei Yisrael hayikoyim, and in particular, throughout the meetings that Rav Arush has with individuals, day by day. הפונים עליי למצוא מזור ופואה לצרתם ולסבלם. That come to him, that turn to Rav Arush for help with their sorrows and difficulties that they have in their life. Ra'iti betzora berura v'chad mashmayit. I saw very clearly. Hashoresh v'asibah l'kol ha'yisurim. The root and the reason for all of the suffering. Hu'ach v'ra'ach v'rak chisaron be'emunah. It is only for one reason. A lack of emunah. All the suffering that people are going through, we have a very easy answer, a very simple answer, a lack of emunah. We're going to need 440 pages to explain what that means, to explain how emunah is the remedy to all of our suffering. But straight from the first page, we're being told the answer. The answer to all our suffering, and we're going to see individually how that works throughout the course of this series of shirim. Lachen al yedei hashlamat emunah nishlamim techef gam kol hachesronot begashmiot ubruchniot. You should know, Rav Arush says, that through obtaining complete emunah, complete faith, when we say emunah, for those who aren't aware of the word emunah in Hebrew, the word emunah in Hebrew means a faith, trust, knowledge of Hashem, a deep belief, a deep confidence in Hashem. So through completing that, through having a complete trust, complete confidence, complete emunah, a person completes all of his lackings. Anything he's lacking in life, whether it's materially or spiritually, everything is completed through emunah. And that might seem strange initially. I can understand maybe how you can tell me that if I'm lacking spiritually, that I can complete my lacking through emunah. That makes sense. But if I'm lacking physically, if I don't have enough money, if I don't have good parnasa, if I don't have a house that I can live in, if I don't have a wife, I don't have children, I want physical things, how's emunah going to help? It's a wonderful question, and we're going to answer that completely, without a shadow of a doubt, in the pages of this book. How even our physical, material requirements are completely satisfied through emunah. Mimele, muvan she'ikar avodato shel adam tzricha liot lemale lehashlim et emunato. Therefore, it should be understood that the main work that a person has to do in this world is to fulfill, to complete his emunah. That's our major job. That job covers everything. When we fulfill our emunah, when we complete our emunah, then we've done our job in this world. Our job in this world is essentially based on emunah. We're going to see later on in the pages of the book, we're going to bring explanations for what that means, proofs. We're going to see the Zohar, for example, the holy work. The Zohar says that the only reason a person comes down to this world is to know Hashem, to find out about Hashem, which is another way of saying emunah. We know elsewhere that the essence of all the mitzvahs, all the commandments on a Jew, are found in the Ten Commandments that contain all the 613. And Chazal, or rabbis, tell us that all the Ten Commandments are contained within the first one. What's the first commandment? Anochi Hashem, I am Hashem. That's all there is. That is the principle on which everything else comes out of. That I am Hashem. Hashem exists. The existence of Hashem, knowing that He exists, and knowing what that means, and what the ramifications are of the fact that Hashem exists, and the Ein Od Milvado, that there's nothing in the world apart from Hashem. That is, in essence, learning about emunah. That is, in essence, our job, the reason why we were created. That's Hashem. We'll talk more about it. We're only at the introduction. Moshe.
So how does this fit in with the Sefer Shisharim?
Uh-huh. So Moshe asked, how does this fit in with what the Ramchal said in Derech Hashem? In Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, in Masilat Yashirim, also by the Ramchal. Ramchal says in Masilat Yashir Isharim there that the purpose of man in this world is to get enjoyment and benefit from Hashem, to enjoy the Shekhinah, to enjoy Hashem's presence. Right? So that doesn't challenge us at all. What that means is, for a person to enjoy Hashem's presence, he has to know who Hashem is. He has to realize that Hashem exists. He has to know what he's enjoying. A person who knows Hashem is delighted in Hashem. He's happy all day long. A person with emunah has no worries. Everything is from Hashem. Everything is wonderful. Everything is good. My life is perfect because there is Hashem, and Hashem is everything. Hashem is only good, and there is only good. When I realize that, then I fulfill what the Ramchal says over there. I bask in the divine glory. I make this world into the next world. We know in the next world that what's going to happen in the next world? We're going to bask, Bezrat Hashem, in Gan Eden, in the divine presence. Rabbi Nachman of Breslev teaches that a person doesn't have to wait till the next world to enjoy that, to experience that. He can experience it now. How? Exactly what the Ramchal said. By knowing and appreciating and understanding who Hashem is, a person can live in the next world today. It's the meaning of the phrase that we say at the end of Aleinu. Three times a day when we say the Aleinu prayer, we say, Bayom Hahu, Yehad, Yeh, Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, Hashem will be one and his name will be one. So what does that mean? On that day is usually understood to mean in that day in the future when Moshiach comes in Olam Haba, we'll know that Hashem is one and his name is one. We'll know that everything's good, Hashem is one, his name is one. Let's just explain for a minute what it means, his name is one. Hashem is one, Hashem is everything, there's nothing other than Hashem. Okay, we can understand what that's referring to. But what does it mean when we say that his name is one? So Rabbi Nachman explains in the book Likutei Moran, he says over there, does it mean that his name is one? So he brings the Gemara. The Gemara actually brings us the question. Hashem has two names. He has many names, but in essence we hold by two principal names of Hashem. What are they? Shem Elokim, the name Elokim, which is the name referring to strict judgment. When Hashem is acting in a strict judgment to the letter of the law way. And we have a second name of Hashem, which is the Yud Kei and the Vav Kei name, called Shem Rachamim, the God of mercy, the name of mercy. When Hashem is acting above and beyond the letter of the law, and he's being very kind to us. And we see that in the world, Hashem acts in both of these fashions. When really good things happen to us, and Hashem is really kind to us, and we have simcha, we have great things that happen, we say, wow, Hashem, God of mercy, he saved us. Thank you, Hashem. And when difficult things happen to us, we say, that was Shem Elokim, that was the God of strict judgment. Rav Nachman explains that in Aleinu, what we're saying over there is on that day, we're going to realize that the name Rachamim and the name Elokim, the name of strict judgment and the name of mercy were actually one. Vayom Ahu Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, his name was one. There's no difference between the names. We're going to realize that the strict judgment was actually mercy. It was still mercy. It was completely merciful. We're going to see that it was for our kindness. It was for our good. We only benefited from it. There is nothing in the world we're going to learn Bezat Hashem in the rest of the pages of the book. There is no bad in the world. It just seems that way. It seems that way because we don't have a full perspective. We don't fully understand. We see from a limited perspective. If we saw from an overall perspective, we'd see it was actually really good. Just the same way that a kid, a small child, when his father is being strict with him, the child wants to eat another chocolate bar. And the father says no. From the child's perspective, he gets very upset. My father's being very strict with me, being very mean. Shem Elokim. But actually the father is not. from the father's perspective, the father's being very kind to him. It's not a kindness to feed my kid as many chocolate bars as he wants. So from the perspective of the child, which is our perspective, we don't know. We don't know what's good for us. But Hashem, who's our loving father, does. On that day in the future, it will become very clear that everything that happened to us was for our own good, for our own kindness. On that day in the future, we'll have no questions anymore. Everything will become clear. We'll have no worries. And so what's Rav Nachman telling us? That Bayom Hahu, on that day in the future when everything comes clear, and there's no more doubt, there's no more bad, everything's only good, and I understand completely that everything was always good. That day can be today. Bayom Hahu doesn't have to mean Bayom Hahu in the future. It can mean Bayom Hahu today. If I choose to believe today, if I choose to learn the principles of Emunah today, if I understand today how Hashem is really treating me, how kind and how loving Hashem is to me today, I'll understand that Hashem is doing everything for my best. He's doing everything for the good. And I have no complaints. I might not understand, and I accept that I might not understand. I accept the fact that I don't understand the mind of Hashem. And it's good that I don't understand the mind of Hashem. Because if I had a God who I could understand, who I would be on the same level as, well, who needs a God like that? That's not a God, that's a friend, that's someone on my level. No, it's appropriate that I don't understand Hashem's ways. But what do I need to do? I need to trust. I need to trust that Hashem is a loving father. That Hashem created me for my good, for the ultimate good. And that is what we're going to learn through Emunah. Emunah is going to give us that perspective that everything that happens to me in the world is good, that there is no bad in the world. And when I reach that level, Bezrat Hashem, by the time we finish this series, by the time we finish reading this book, even in the first few pages, a person can get to the change their life completely. There's no, I know I don't need to worry anymore. I'm in good hands. I'm in excellent hands. What is there to worry about? Example is given of a person who's flying on a plane. He's on a trip. He's going on holiday. He's never been on a plane before. Doesn't really know how they work. He's sitting in the back. What happens? He looks out the window and he starts to worry. Wait a minute. Where are we? How can we even tell where we're going? I can't see anything. I just see clouds. Who's guiding this plane? Who's flying? Where's it going to get? And he gets very upset. Pings the little light in the ceiling. Calls the hostess over, the whatever they're called, stewardess. The stewardess. And says, what's going on? Who's flying this plane? Is it going the right way? All these questions, all these worries. And she's, don't worry, calm down, calm down. And he's upset and he's not happy. The guy next to him, sitting there reading a book, relaxed, calm. The agitated guy turns to him and says, why are you so relaxed? Who knows what's going to be? Who knows if we're going to get to where we need to get to? Who knows what's... The guy says, don't worry. You're not a pilot. You don't even know how to fly a plane. Leave it to someone who knows what they're doing and sit down and relax. We're going to get to the destination. We're going to get there. We're both going to get there. And you've got a choice how you get there. You can either get there in a relaxed way, reading, enjoying, looking out the window, enjoying the sights. Or you can get mad at everything. Every bump, there's a bit of turbulence. What's going on? What's going on? Right? The coffee spills on you. Oh! All the ups and downs that can happen in life, a person can drive a person crazy. If he thinks he's in control, if he thinks he should be in control, if he thinks he knows better than the pilot how to fly a plane, he's going to be very upset. But if I trust in the pilot, I say the pilot knows what he's doing. The pilot's taking me to a destination. I'm going to get there either way. I may as well sit back and enjoy the ride. So Emunah allows us to sit back and enjoy the ride. Doesn't require that anyone change anything in their life. except to simply sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. To know that everything is being taken care of. To know that Hashem is in control of every single aspect of our lives. We don't have to worry anymore. That's a very freeing, very empowering, very wonderful expression of being alive when a person can do that.
Does it not apply to communities, nations, the whole world?
Emunah applies to everyone.
So it's not just individuals.
Emunah applies to the whole world. What does that mean? It means that when the entire world gets this, slowly, 2 million copies sold, a few more to go, we're getting there. But when the entire world gets this, we have Gan Eden, we have Olam Haba, we have Moshiach, we have the end, we have the purpose of life fulfilled. That is the next world. That's what the next world is going to be. Until then, what can I do? So I can choose to wait with my stresses and my pressures and my anger and my upset and my confusion and my hatred and all the bad traits and emotions that are festering inside me. And I'll wait till Mashiach comes and everything will be fine. Maybe. If I wait that long. Or I can have my Geulah today. I can have my redemption today. Rav Natan, who was the principal student of Rav Nachman, said, my Geulah has already arrived. My redemption arrived. After he met Rav Nachman, he said, my redemption's arrived. That's it. For me, redemption is here. Because what changes when Mashiach comes? What's different? According to many, the only thing that's different is knowledge of Hashem fills the world. Everything is good because knowledge of Hashem fills the world. We don't need to change anything else. We just need to be aware that of Hashem's existence, Hashem's presence. Hashem is everything. Hashem is the king. Hashem is in control. So everybody realizes that you've got that wonderful world that we long for. So when I get there, my world is now wonderful. Nothing bothers me anymore. Because I know everything is from Hashem. Everything is a message from Hashem. Everything is a conversation with Hashem. The whole world is a conversation with Hashem. Everything around me that happens day to day, my day to day life is entirely a conversation with Hashem. Hashem is controlling all the pieces. And he's showing me what he wants to show me. Sometimes he's giving me a hug. Sometimes he's giving me a gentle rebuke. Sometimes he's showing me what I need to do with my life. Sometimes he's asking me to fix something that I got wrong. And that's life. But it's a very different life. And it's a very empowering and enlivening life. A life full of joy and happiness. Okay, let's continue. Okay. But da, you should know. Shekol makom shemuzkeret emunah. In every place where we refer to the word emunah in this book, perusha tefillah. The meaning is tefillah. Let's explain. Rav Arash teaches, particularly, that the way we get close to Hashem is through tefillah, through prayer. Through prayer. And in particular, personal prayer. Personal prayer is one of the most fundamental principles that a person needs to work on and needs to know about if they wish to get close to Hashem. If they want to know Hashem, they want to get close to Hashem. Why? What is prayer got to do with Emunah, getting close to Hashem? So, analogy quite simply is that if you want to have a relationship with someone, you need to speak to them. You can't have a relationship with someone that you don't speak to. You can worship them from afar. If you have a favorite idol, a film star, a pop star, unfortunately, these things still exist in the world. and you adore them from afar, but you don't speak to them, so you have no relationship with them. It's mostly an imagination. I'm living in my imagination, right, with them, but there's no connection between us. If I want to have a relationship with someone, I need to speak to them. The same goes true with Hashem. If I want to have a relationship with Hashem, if I want to feel close to Hashem, if I want to feel how close Hashem really is to me, he's here. But I need to realize that. I need to speak to him. I need to, in the words of Rabbi Nachman, pour out my heart to Hashem. Yes, Moshe. Yafeh. So good question. So Moshe asked a very good question. Why is it that I need to have personal prayer, pouring out my heart to Hashem, when I have tefillah, men at least have an obligation, 3 times a day to pray to Hashem, the fixed prayers of Shacharit, Mincha, Maariv, the morning prayer, the afternoon prayer, and the evening prayer. And there's a fixed set of prayers that I need to say. That's great. And a person should put a lot of effort into their prayers in order to say them with meaning and with understanding. That's also very good. However, it's limited. Why is it limited? Because the prayers are fixed. The prayers are fixed, talking about the words that Chazal, that our rabbis fixed many generations ago for the words that we need to say to Hashem. And the things that I deal with on a day-to-day level may not come out in those prayers. For example, if I'm having problems finding a shidduch, Hashem, 30 years, 40 years, and I'm still not married, I need to express that to Hashem. Help me, please. If I'm going to find it very difficult to find that prayer within the Shemoneh Esrei, I'm not saying it a person can't. I'm just saying it's difficult. It's not natural. Other prayers as well. Prayers for, I need to find a new job. I need to like to learn more Torah. I would like to work on my anger, my personal traits. We don't find them in the Shemoneh Esrei. It may be that there are references in there that a person could say, but if you look in the bracha of Mevarech Hashanim, praying for Parnasa, so within there, that also includes praying for a job. Yofi. Maybe true. I'm not saying it's not true, that it doesn't also contain that idea. However, for a person to express his feelings, I need to have a forum, a place where I can express what I want to express.
So, I mean, if a farmer is attempting, that doesn't mean you can't insert yourself.
Correct.
And not only that, in Shemaya Tefillah, there's a section where you can add.
Yeah, fair. So, great. So, what the rabbi said is that a person can add into the Shemoneh Esrei their own personal prayers, right? So that is also an excellent thing to do. A person can add in to a prayer about health. He can add in a prayer that other people become healthy. And in prayers that don't seem to fit in to the standard order, that, for example, the shidduch, I don't know where to put that. So I can put that in Shomer Tefillah. Shomer Tefillah is a general prayer, asking for Hashem to listen to our prayers. And in that tefillah, in that prayer, I can insert in there my own words, but specific for my own needs. Okay. So that's true, but there is some difficulties with doing that. What are the difficulties? So the first difficulty is that some say that the Shemoneh Esrei is not for you. It's not for personal prayers. It's for the plural. The Shemoneh Esrei is written only in the plural. We're praying on Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael should have Geula. Am Yisrael should have good health. Am Yisrael should have good Parnassah. Am Yisrael should have redemption. That's the basis. There's no me in the Shemoneh Esrei. There's no me. And therefore, some say it's not ideal to put your own personal prayers in prayers which are for the nation. However, there is certainly a view that says it is okay. So let's say we hold by the view that says it is okay. So then, what's my difficulty? My difficulty now is practical, purely practical. If I have the time and I have the ability to insert into my prayer what I need to say, then that's wonderful. But there's a difficulty, because in the middle of Shacharit, or in the middle of Milcha, when the rest of the congregation is spending between 5 minutes to 10 minutes maybe on their Shemona Esrei, if I'm to do justice to my personal prayer, I've got to spend a lot of time on that prayer. It doesn't help me if I throw in an extra couple of words. And by the way, Hashem, I'd like a wife. Anyway, and I continue. It's nice, it's good, but I'm not really filling my obligation of pouring out my heart to Hashem with, and please give me a wife. Why not? Example as follows. Person goes into a department store to buy some things. And he looks around the department store and he sees a lot of wonderful items that he would like to buy. He sees a microwave oven. He sees a dishwasher. He sees a new sofa. Great. And he decides he's going to have that, and these items. And he goes to the cashier and says to the cashier, I'd like to buy a sofa, the microwave, and I'd also like the dishwasher, please. Cashier says, wonderful, very nice, sir. How much money do you have? So the man takes out his wallet, and he's got three pennies. So he says, oh, great, I've got 3 pennies. That one's for the sofa, that one's for the microwave, and that one's for the dishwasher. Cashier says, thank you very much, I'll take that, but I'm afraid it's not enough, you haven't got anything. Maybe come back tomorrow. The man comes back tomorrow, opens his wallet, does the same thing, gives a penny on each one, says, have I anything? No, not yet, sir, come back tomorrow. So the man comes back for a few days. After a few days, he still hasn't received anything. So he gives up. He gives up, what's the point? I'm not getting anywhere. Rav Arash explains that this is how we treat prayer. We give a little bit onto many things that we want. Hashem, please give me shalom bayit. Hashem, please give me good parnasa. Hashem, please give me educated kids. Thank you very much. Done. We give a small drop, a penny, to each one, and we don't receive anything. Why? Because we don't realize what we're asking for. To have educated kids, to find our shidduch, these are huge things, which take a lot of merit and a lot of prayer. And we don't fill up the amount of prayer we need, so we never receive it. So what happens? We put in a little spot, and then we give up after a while. Every day we try a little bit. I added a request for a shidduch in to my Shemaya Tefillah prayer. And I did it for a whole month. Didn't find my shidduch, I gave up. Nahon, it's true. It wasn't enough. I can't expect to have the woman who is going to complete my life. I'm going to change my life completely. I'm going to bring me to a level that I cannot imagine. Is going to come to me simply for saying, and Hashem, by the way, please give me my shidduch. Thank you very much, and move on to the next thing. I haven't invested anything in that. I've given nothing of myself. What does Hashem want? Hashem says, instead of putting a penny on each one, stop putting a chunk of time on one thing. Rav Arisch says, take one matter, one thing that you've been working on for a long time and you're not seeing results. And you know that, even better, take something that you know that derech hateva, by a natural course, you can't see how it's going to get resolved. Take an item like that and spend half an hour a day praying on that. If a person spends half an hour, dedicates a full half hour to one topic, very quickly he's going to see amazing results. He's going to acquire what he's asking for. Everything in this world has a price tag in prayer. We learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu when he wanted to come into Eretz Israel. And Hashem says, no, you can't come in. And we learn in the parasha of Vayetzchanan that our rabbis teach us that the word Vayetzchanan has the numerical value of 515. And Hashem said to Moshe, stop, one more prayer and I will have to let you in. One more prayer and I haven't got a choice. Even though I, Hashem, decreed that you're not, I don't want you to come in to the land, because you pray enough, I'm going to have to let you. And that's the way of the spiritual world. Whatever you pray for, even something that Hashem himself said, no way, it's not going to happen, even that is overturned through enough prayer. So in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it would have been 516 prayers and he would have got into Eretz Israel. He would have had to. And we learn from that everything in this world has a price tag. We don't know what the price tag is. But for sure, if it's an important thing like educated kids, if it's an important thing like finding your shidduch, if it's an important thing like parnasa that's going to feed my family, it's not going to come for free. It's going to come, I'm going to have to pour out my soul. Now, back to our question. Can I do that in the middle of Shemona Esrei? So the answer is yes, a person could. Will he do that in the middle of Shemona Esrei? Very unlikely. Very unlikely, practically speaking. To spend half an hour in the middle of Shemona Esrei, everyone's finished, gone home, left, and you're the only one standing in shul, the new minions come in, started, is already davening, and you're still in the middle of Shemona Esrei? It's very meritorious. And a person who wants to do that should definitely do that and not be afraid of doing that. Very meritorious. But it's not so easy to do. So instead, what does Rav Nachman say, brought down by Rav Arish, in the Garden of Emunah, and also particularly if a person wants to learn about this more, he should look at Steya'a, the forest fields, which is all about personal prayer. Says a person should find a quiet time, just themselves, go out to the field, or find a room, a quiet room, only you by yourself, turn off the phone, close the door, and spend half an hour, ideally an hour a day, but minimum half an hour, praying on one topic. It's worth it. What else? 40 years I've looked for a shidduch. I've been on this shidduch, I've been on that, I've been on Saw You at Sinai, I've been on J-Date, I've tried everything. 40 years of effort, but it's not worth it to spend half an hour. Half an hour to fix the entire problem and to have them call you. Your wife's going to call you. You're not going to have to go chase her. You're not going to have to look for her. She's going to come to you. Only through prayer. Through spending half an hour. Of Irish says, person who doesn't believe this, what are your options? Either what I'm telling you now is true or it's false. There are only two options. It's true or it's false. There's no other third option. Who knows? Maybe it's right, maybe it's not right. There's only one way of knowing what I'm saying now is true or not. You have to try it. Person has to try it. Person cannot sit there and say, I don't think it works. I don't think it works. I don't think it works for me. I don't think Hashem is going to listen to my prayers. He doesn't know. The truth is, it does work. But the truth is, you're only going to know that yourself when you've tried it. Rav Arish says, take a topic. Something that is not going to happen easily. Something that is not going to, that it happens. For example, you're waiting to hear back from a school to see whether one of your kids got into a school. Don't pick that to pray on. Why not? Because when you pray on it half an hour every day and it happens, you're going to think, well, it was going to happen anyway. I was just waiting for the letter. It could have been. I'm not going to connect it to my prayer at all. So that's not a good thing to pray on. I mean, ideally pray on it anyway, but don't use that as the test. Pick something that you know, derech hateva, through natural means, it's not going to happen. I haven't seen any movement in however long. I've come to the end of my ideas about what I'm going to do. I have no way of understanding how this is going to resolve itself. Pick that topic and pray on that. And when that changes, you're going to know yourself that it came from Hashem. Okay, so before Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, before the men of the Great Assembly, the men of the Sanhedrin, before they fixed the prayer we say in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening, there was no fixed prayer. Every person prayed from their heart according to how they saw fit. There's always been a Doraita obligation, an obligation from the Torah to pray to Hashem. Before Chazal, before our rabbis fixed the prayer that we say every day, three times a day. So the obligation was to pray, but to pray in your own words. Right? We see this from the Avot, the forefathers that went out in the field, right? That Yitzhak was in the field praying, speaking to Hashem. Right? That we learn there, the morning prayer, the afternoon prayer, etc. From each one went out to pray at a different time. But their prayer wasn't a fixed prayer, it was a prayer from the heart. And so too through the generations. Only when it came to the Sanhedrin, they decided, you know what, we need to fix a prayer. Because people are forgetting how to pray. People are forgetting what they need to say. So we're going to fix a minimum set of prayers that cover the bases. And that's what they put out there. So you have at least fulfilled the minimum. You need to ask for your wisdom from Hashem. You need to ask for health from Hashem. You need to realize that your parnassah is coming from Hashem. So we fixed all of these.
But you said it wasn't
good. But to know where it comes from, to ask for everyone, that to know where this comes from, to know that it comes from Hashem. But to ask on the group. When we ask on the group in the Sibor, then Hashem doesn't look at us individually. So we've got more chance of receiving because we're part of the group. But not so in personal prayer. Personal prayer is different. Personal prayer is the opportunity for me to take out what's on my mind. The opportunity for me to speak to Hashem and tell him what I feel, what I think. Rav Nachman says that the way a person should speak to Hashem is the way he would speak to a really good friend. A really good friend. Many of us might find that difficult because in this day and age, to have a really good friend that you could pour out your heart to truthfully without holding back anything is a difficult thing. But it's probably the closest we've got to understand. Nothing is on lit. To sit there to Hashem, today I'm just feeling miserable. Hashem, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what's going on. Help me. Show me. Show me what you want from me, Hashem. Those words from the heart go straight up. Go straight to Hashem. Because they're coming from the heart. They're coming with kavanah. They're coming with meaning. When we say the prayers in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's very difficult, very hard for us to say them with meaning. Not only meaning that we mean the words that they say, right? That when we say speak out the words of the Shemoneh Esrei, that we actually mean those words. But also that we have mean them, that they're meaningful for us. Especially if a person says the same words day in, day out, three times a day. It's very difficult. But our own words purely come from our own intention. Whatever word comes out my mouth now is the word I want to say. It is really me. It is me. I'm putting myself into words. That connection to Hashem is my emunah. That connection to Hashem gives me a relationship to Hashem where I feel him. Rav Arish says that if you believe he exists, you speak to him. If you believe he's there, so speak to him. And if you don't believe, so you don't speak. Person who doesn't believe doesn't speak. What's the point? Speaking to the wall, speaking to the table. I don't believe. But my belief is expressed in the fact that I'm speaking to you. I know you're there. I know you're here with me, Hashem. I know you're right here. And that's why I'm speaking to you. I know that what you just did for me then, Hashem, I know that was from you. thank you, Hashem. I know that my life is from you. Thank you, Hashem, for my health. I know that it's you that makes me healthy. Thank you, Hashem, for my parnasa. I know it's you that's giving me my parnasa. I have that direct relationship. That is my emunah. That's an expression of my emunah. If I'm not speaking to him, then Rav Ari says, I don't believe he's really there. I don't believe he's really listening, that he really cares. And that is not the correct position. That's not the position of what it means to be a true Jew. A Jew has to know Hashem exists. Hashem is with you. Hashem loves you. Hashem is in control of every aspect of your life. That's what the Rambam teaches us in the Rambam's 13 principles. Hashem did, does, and will do everything. There's only Hashem. Hashem is doing everything. Ein od milvado. There's nothing in the world apart from Hashem. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyirat shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven. Everything. Apart from yirat shamayim. My connection to Hashem. My yira. My awe of Hashem.
So yira and
amunah. Yira is a reflection of amunah. Yira means really to see. To be aware. To be in awe of. It's an awareness of Hashem. To be aware of Hashem means to have yira of Hashem. If I understand and I believe and I know that the King of Kings is right here with me, that he's watching me, he's with me all day, I have Yirat Hashem. When I forget that, so I lose my Yirat Hashem. I forget that Hashem is with me. I don't see Hashem anymore. That's my Emunah. So what we're learning in this book is how to work on that, how to develop that, how to come to a place where I see Hashem and I feel Hashem in everything. And I know he's with me. And the essence of that, Rav Arash is telling us from the beginning, is prayer. Emunah and prayer come hand in hand. Person can't have one without the other. If you have emunah, but you don't have prayer, so you don't really have emunah. You've got a hypothetical emunah, a theoretical emunah. Yes, I believe in Hashem 100%, but tachlit, real reality, if I'm not speaking to him, I don't actually believe him. I don't really believe he's there. I can talk a good game. I can tell everyone that I'm really into Hashem and Hashem is with me and I know Hashem exists. But if I understood who Hashem was, if I knew Hashem and I knew that all his essence is just to look after me, to give me whatever I want, and he's just waiting for me to speak to him, I'd be speaking to him. There's no greater love, greater enjoyment that a father gets than his son speaking to him. Nachon? If you're Hashem, so to speak, there's no greater pleasure for you than your child turns to you and says, Hashem, I know you're there, right? No greater pleasure than that you ignore him. And he's trying to speak to you and you're ignoring him. He's saying, speak to me. So that's what Hashem wants. Now, if I know that, I know who Hashem is, I know that he's a loving parent, and he wants to give me everything, I'm going to turn to him, I'm going to run to him with everything. A loving parent wants to give. Just wants to give. And he's going to give as much as a child can take. The Gemara says a phrase, which is that more than the cow wants to more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to give. More than the calf wants to feed from its mother, the mother wants to give it milk. That's an expression, an analogy for Hashem. More than we actually want to receive, Hashem wants to give us. We don't realize how much Hashem wants to give us. We just need to be in a position to be able to receive it. We need to bring vessels and he'll fill them up. I need to open my hands. Poteach et yadecha. King David says in Tehillim, open up your hands, maspiel achol charatzon, and all of your desires will be satisfied. But you need to open up your hands. What is opening up your hands? Opening up your hands is nothing but prayer. Prayer comes from the hands. This image of is prayer. Right? We learn from Moshe, when Moshe was fighting the war against Amalek. How did he fight the war against Amalek? He sent Yoshua down to fight the physical war, and he went up on the mountain. One side, sorry, with Yeshua on one side, and Hor on the other. Yeshua went and fought the battle. Aaron on one side, Hor on the other, and they held his hands up. Right? And his hands were emunah. The Pasuk says over there, his hands were emunah. And Rashi explains, their hands were held up in prayer. Tying it nicely all together. Hands means prayer, and hands means emunah. Prayer and emunah, prayer is emunah. If I believe in Hashem, I call to him. I ask for him. I cry out to him. And he fulfills. He's just waiting for me to ask. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to learn throughout the rest of this series how to put that into practice. How to get to a place where I see Hashem in all my life, in every aspect of my life. And I understand what it is that Hashem is trying to tell me. And I feel close to him. And my life changes completely. Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue next time. Thank you.